Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Pitch it to Belton. Gesicki in front. Turns the corner. 25. First down. 20 to the 15. Breaks free to the 10. 5. Touchdown, Penn State.
Back to pass on the straight draw. Pass time. Down the middle of the field for Kirby. He's got him on the run. To the 20. 15. 10. 5. Touchdown, Chekalemi.
Belton in the Wildcat. Swings to his left. Donovan Smith in front to the 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Penn State.
Here's the handoff right side, McCreary to the 20, outside to the 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Chekalemi. McCreary races off the right side, 30 yards to make it 13-0, Chekalemi.
Swinak, the lone setback. Turns, Swinak left side, block from Mangiero, touchdown, Penn State.
Calling for the ball is Schlegel. He'll keep it himself this time, has a hold of the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Chekalemi. He takes it to the house.
Swinak left side, Swinak, touchdown, Penn State. Brent Wilkerson, big block on the edge, and the Nittany Lions build the lead.
Schlegel. Hands it off. McCreary, right side, into the end zone. Touchdown, Chekalemi. McCreary with his second score of the ball game. And with 3:38 remaining in the third, Chekalemi extends the lead 26-0.
Shotgun. Throws in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown, Penn State. DJ Crooks' first career touchdown pass to Brent Wilkerson, who scores his first touchdown as a Nittany Lion.
Okay, great to have you with us on this Monday.
Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com.
The Purdy's have served the Valley now for decades. I think if you take the echo out, it's going to help me a little bit.
Yeah, it seems as though we're having a little issue here trying to get you squared away. How about that? Did that do anything? Ah, I have you now. Okay, you don't have me. All right.
I have you.
But you've got extra audio, yes.
And I have you about 2 seconds apart. That's better. Not perfect, okay. But it's better.
Let's see. Now I don't have you. All right. I'll tell you what. hang on. What will you do? I'm working on it. I'm working on it. Let's see.
Not quite there yet, are
no,
you?
No, not quite there yet. No.
No. And in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15.
It is the Ford Escape. The Ford Escape is what we have this particular week, and we'll talk more about that in just a few minutes when I try and get things squared away here. Sorry. Are you hearing yourself twice? Okay, so you're still hearing yourself twice. Because you're a pro.
Or some other definition you want to come up with. Dave Bryan will be on to talk about the Steelers today. Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle. We're going to talk two-fold with Rich today. We're going to talk about, obviously, Penn State football one-third of the way through the regular season. And we're also going to talk to Rich as a diehard, lifelong New York Yankees fan about the final week for Derek Jeter. And, of course, there we go. Sounds like it's all set now. Are you all set?
I think so.
All right. I mean, whatever, it's still there, but it's in the background.
Yeah, something's still not right yet on my end, but, you know, I'll get there eventually.
I think you just explained 3 years of the show.
I think so.
That's just too easy. It's just too easy. All right. Penn State won Saturday, beat UMass as expected, 48-7. They were expected to win. They did. Sometimes it's that simple. They got, you know, they did get the running game going. UMass is a team that been giving up 218 yards rushing per game. Penn State found alleys. I think a big part of this, too, is that they, and we'll find out how it translates this week, but they garnered some confidence in the running game. Success breeds success. And we will now find out whether or not this gives Penn State a level of confidence to balance out the offense. And if they can, now Penn State becomes an even more dangerous team to deal with. Where suddenly you're not just worried about getting pressure on Christian Hackenberg. And that'll be one of the keys going forward. I mean, making sure Christian Hackenberg is protected. I believe we have Joe Susan today as well.
Yeah, he'll be with us at 4:35.
Sounded confused there for a moment.
I'm still confused myself at the moment.
It's all right. Do your best. That's why they create the news at the bottom of the hour. So you can fix things.
It's not coming soon enough right now.
Sounds like you're hanging on.
By my fingernails.
Steelers were tremendous last night. What a performance. And the Eagles are 3-0, and they look great. I mean, the Eagles look really good. I mean, Nick Foles hasn't really hit stride yet, and they're still racking up points and winning big. And the Steelers in the second half of that game were tremendous. I mean, I knew they were playing well. Kevin didn't even send me a text.
Actually, I kind of fell asleep in the third quarter.
So now they're playing boring football by your standards.
No, they play better when I'm asleep, though.
You're the one that hid out in the basement last year. Didn't you? Two guys over 100 last night, Le'Veon Bell and LeGarrette Blount. Talked to Dave Bryan about this. Dave Bryan, I said, you know, have you watched the tape yet? And he said, yeah, he says, twice. Even though it was a late game, he watched it twice. We'll talk to Dave about that. How about Joe Susan and Bucknell, 3-0. First time that they have been a 3-0 football team since 1997. Last year, Sacred Heart beat them at Mathewson. This time they went to New Haven and they won 36-20. And we will talk to Joe Susan about that. But they're a 3-0 football team for the first time in 17 years. And playing very, very well. I mean, they're scoring points. That's the big part. I mean, they're not only winning, they're entertaining. I mean, they are winning and they are putting points up on the board. And I'm impressed. And you look at what they've done so far, they're averaging 33 points a game right now. They've already scored 100 points in three games. And they have an ability to do either one right now. They're averaging 4.5 yards a rush, which as a team is really impressive, considering one guy wants somebody with 3.9 yards to carry to be in the Hall of Fame. When the whole team's averaging 4.6, I think that's darn good.
Put them all in the Hall of Fame. How do you sound? By the way, are everything on your end okay now?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, they're very, very faint, but it doesn't matter. I think it's more than workable. Yeah, C.J. Williams out to a great start with 374 yards rushing. R.J. Nitti has been playing very well, 61% so far with 8 touchdowns and just 2 picks.
He was almost surgical at times on Saturday. And with a running game that really wasn't working real well, and when you're playing one of the top 10 running defenses in FCS football, and let me tell you, they are all that in running defense, there wasn't a whole lot of running room. They relied on the pass game, and RJ looked fantastic.
Another, Evan Byers is having a great year defensively for them so far, playing very well. Clayton Ewell already has a couple of picks this year.
And a big one on Saturday as well.
Yep. So they're off to a great start. No question about that. And
this is a fun team to watch this year. It really is. Not that any of the other years haven't been, but they have a very solid defense. They've played very well, except with the exception of the VMI game. The defense has played very well. The offense is starting to come together. I mean, this is a team that actually is going to have teams shaking a lot in the Patriot League because they can stop you and they can move the ball, and that's something that's a combination that has not been at Bucknell for the last couple of years. They've either had a really good defense and the offense has struggled, or vice versa, but they put it together the last couple of games.
Well, I hope people can get there to see them play Saturday when they take on Cornell. This will be a great test at 6 o'clock Saturday. The Penn State game's at noon, so you got plenty of time to take in both games or watch one on TV and then go over. But 6 o'clock on Saturday, they will take on Cornell at Mathewson, back home after being on the road the last 2 weeks. And they're going to be into this pattern where they're going to be home and away for a little bit until they get to the first week in November when they have those back-to-back games, including a Saturday-Friday matchups when they take on Lafayette and Fordham. And the Friday matchups is because it's going to be on CBS Sportsnet, but that's down the road. But they got Cornell this Saturday at 6 at home.
And I believe there were 18 votes, I think it was, this week for Bucknell in the top 25 for FCS. So they're starting to get some recognition nationally as well.
Well, and then there's the saga of how Penn State's being voted. 3 voters from Ohio in the AP, not one voted for Penn State in the top 25. 2 voters from Tennessee, which I believe is where Vanderbilt happens to reside.
I think neither you're correct. One
voted. Neither one voted. Nobody from ESPN, Fox News, or CBS Sports voted for Penn State. So not quite there yet. But I don't. But you know me. I don't have a great depth of caring for that right now. Awards and things like that. I don't really.
Actually, I'd rather you wait until almost like October, maybe even another, like after this week, and then start bringing out polls, because it's really tough to vote when you only have 1, 2, and maybe 3 games in the season. It's really tough to figure out who needs to be where.
Well, it's not going to happen. I mean, it's for the sake of interest and so forth. You're going to have polls who's in your top 25. And being in the top 25 is a very important part of all of this because you need to stake out a poll position to move up because of the playoff. You know, you need to have a starting spot that's there where you have the ability to move up, as opposed to being on the outside looking in where the road becomes longer. Look, if I'm going to pick out a group right now that had a big weekend and a huge sigh of relief, what group would that be, Kevin?
I don't know. Tell me.
Those in the college football committee.
I wasn't thinking in that direction, but okay.
Here's the reason. When you're doing the NCAA basketball tournament, the committee tries to figure out what to do and how to seed a team that's had a player out, then comes back. How do you seed them? What do you do with them? Especially if they've lost a bunch of games when the player was out. What if Florida State had lost without Jameis Winston? How do you evaluate them then? By scoring in overtime and winning it, bailed the committee out. They don't have to bring that to the table.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home, you take out a policy, and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They will take care of all of your insurance needs with tremendous care. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is driving a beautiful, brand-new Ford Escape this week. He'll tell you more about that later in the show. So as he's done taking medication, he's right now a bit excited. Needs to calm himself.
I am. I'm actually working today. This is work now. Usually,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I know.
Why the sudden change in dedication?
Oh, that hurts. That hurts.
I mean, wow. It's homecoming here. Somebody asked me today, what's homecoming mean to you? I'm like, I don't know. I already live here.
It's just home to you.
It's great to have. Look, it's great because the alumni will come back. There are a lot of great alumni events. There's a parade that's going to take place here. Huge parade. That's really, if you've ever been to it, it's tremendous. And admittedly, I'm playing golf Friday night, but that's okay.
It's a great parade, and someday I may actually watch it. But
oh no, I've been in it. I mean, I've been in it. I've been in it. It really is well done. I mean, and the weather here on Friday is going to be great. I'll bet they have record attendance for the parade. It's all part of the pride of. Of being associated with or a graduate of Penn State, just like it is in any university. Bucknell's homecoming is great, too. So, time now to bring in Rich Scarsella from the Reading Eagle.
Hang on, he's not quite there yet. I'm still connecting the line here. Hang on.
This part about working.
I know.
It almost was better when you weren't.
See, I've been saying that for years, and nobody listens.
Huh?
Exactly.
What was that?
That's exactly right.
What's going on? All right, we'll get to Rich here in a second, and Kevin will give me the word when it's time.
Okay, I actually have him on the line now.
Good. All right, Rich, welcome. It's great to have you with us on the show. Before we get to Penn State, Rich, I want to get to something else. That is very near and dear to your heart because you are a lifelong Red Sox fan. You are a lifelong, dedicated, emotional New York Yankees fan. So from a New York Yankee fan point of view, what's this like with Derek Jeter playing the final games of his career?
Well, I mean, I think Jeter stands on his own. I shouldn't say alone. The guys who won it in 09, what they call the core four, Jeter Rivera, Posada, and Pettit, they're a little different than Bernie Williams, who was my favorite player of that era, and Paul O'Neill, who was my son's favorite player.
Right.
They stand a little bit separate. And Jeter, you know, the guys just... he's been a clutch player for them. You know, people can argue about what kind of range he had and how good he was defensively, the fact that he didn't have a ton of power. But, you know, in the playoffs, there weren't any better clutch players than Derek Jeter and Bernie Williams.
Rich, anybody who wants to criticize Derek Jeter as a player is too picky in life. I mean, quite simply, too picky in life.
Yeah.
Hey, you're a lifelong Yankees fan. I'm a lifelong Red Sox fan. Mm-hmm. And he is one heck of a baseball player.
Well, yeah, and he is. And this is it is not only is this the end of his career, it's the end of an era.
Yes.
You know, since he's the last to retire. And he is. He's you know, you really, I think, unless you watch him every day, you really don't appreciate, well, I shouldn't say you can't, but you really appreciate it when you see him most games. And I'm lucky enough to have MLB TV, and I see him in a lot of games. He is, it's the passing of an era, and can't wait for next year to see who's playing third base for the New York Yankees, and shortstop, too, but not really looking forward to that.
Right. I understand that. I know a lot of people want us to talk about Penn State football, so here we are one-third of the way through the regular season. So what have you learned one-third of the way through the regular season?
I've learned that the Penn State defense is a lot better than most people thought it would be. I thought it would be better than most people thought it would be. I didn't think it would be this good. I've learned that, the special teams, the kickers have kicked well. Mm-hmm. I think they could get some more out of the special teams, especially in the return game.
Right.
Offensively is a work in progress because of the offensive line, because of the inexperience there. They obviously took a step forward Saturday against Massachusetts, but it was Massachusetts. We'll find out a lot more about the offense in the next two games against Northwestern and Michigan, and I think then we can have a better idea of where they're going to be and how they're going to be for the season.
Have there been a couple of players on each side of the ball that have surprised even you?
Oh, I think offensively, there's no doubt about it. I never thought that Geno Lewis would be as good as he has been this season. I'd heard about Deshaun Hamilton without having seen him. You know, is it a surprise? I guess it is because, you know, but I did hear, and we all heard, a lot about him and how good he could be, and so the receivers have surprised me. Obviously, Christian Hackenberg has not surprised me. He is what we all thought he is and what he could be, and he still has a lot of room to grow. Defensively, surprises. I think the secondary has played better than I thought it would. I think Naeem Wortman and Brandon Bell have played better than I thought they would play. Not that I didn't think they were poor players by any stretch, but they've played very well. I thought Mike Hull would play well in the middle, so that's not a surprise. And I thought a lot of Anthony Zettel and Austin Johnson, so they haven't been a surprise either. I will say this, Steve, getting away from personnel, I am very impressed with the coaching staff that James Franklin has brought with him, mostly from Vanderbilt, with the exception of Terry Smith, obviously. I think they're energetic, they're very smart, and I think they're very organized. And I think they've done a pretty good job.
And now they head into the next phase of this, and this the next phase, the next four, the next third, all Big Ten games.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ten finally at least had a weekend they can hang their hat on. Indiana beat Missouri, Nebraska beat Miami. You still had Michigan, though, losing to Utah. Your thoughts on where the Big Ten is right now?
Well, you know, perception is reality, and the perception is that they're the fifth best conference in the United States, unless proven otherwise. And they really, even though they had a good weekend, it wasn't a great weekend. You know, Maryland and Maryland won at Syracuse, so that's a good win, even though Syracuse is not, you know, Syracuse is probably around a 500 team. So I think the Big Ten right now still has a ways to go. You know, we'll see. I think Michigan State is the best team in the league, until proven otherwise. And you know, the couple X factors to me are, well, actually, there's four of them: Nebraska, Wisconsin, Penn State, and Michigan. are kind of like, let's see what happens here. How good can they be? I'm not really sure. So I think Penn State has a chance to win 9 games, and that would be a remarkable achievement, in my opinion, considering the roster they have.
I want to get to that part. I discussed in the pregame show when I was asked a question, and I started out by saying you, and then I just revised and said, wait, the heck with this. I got to take responsibility for what I think. And I said, look, I have to keep reminding myself that this is not 1995 Penn State or 2005 Penn State where it's 85-85.
Mm-hmm.
I constantly have to remind myself that this is a 72-person roster in terms of scholarship players, and the other teams have 85. Thus, it's allowing me to at least have perspective on what I'm watching. Do you have to constantly remind yourself, too?
No, not really. I mean, that's always in the back of my mind. But it's impressive, what they've been able to accomplish this year, the last 2 years, with the limited number of scholarships. It's always there because especially when you look at the offensive line and there's not much depth there.
Right.
And that's really where it's hurt Penn State the most this season, without question. Is there, and if they find a way to if the offensive linemen find a way to keep improving, then maybe Penn State can even it could be a really special season. Who knows? But only time will tell that.
I'm sure you were there. I did not. I don't get a chance to go down to the media room after the game. So what was the tone and tenor with Christian Hackenberg in talking to him on Saturday? About getting off to a slow start in that game, because everyone obviously expects perfection out of him.
Steve, there was such a... I'm going to sound like a complainer, but I'm not. It's just the way the world is. There were so many cameras around him.
Right.
I didn't get to him until late, and I only heard about 4 questions, and his time was up. So I didn't hear him what he had to say about his start. I did ask him. I got one question about the state of the offense, and he said, we've had our ups and downs, obviously, and we're hoping, like the rest of them, that this is like the rest of his teammates, that this is a step forward, that they can move forward. But I didn't hear him about what he said about the beginning of the game. But it's unrealistic to expect him to come out every game and complete 90% of his passes. He is still a 19-year-old sophomore, despite his talent. And, he's playing behind an inexperienced offensive line. You have to be realistic about what he can and can't do. But he's delivered when the games, in the 2 games that have been at stake at the end of the game. So, hard to argue with that.
I want to follow up on, you didn't get a chance to part.
Yeah.
How... You've been down the road so many times.
Mm-hmm.
How does that part need to change so reporters can... because there's so many TV cameras now, or those who are using video supplement websites. How can they handle that now, especially when it's a... It's one thing, for example... Okay, let me revise that. It's one thing, for example, let's pick a good player, Deshaun Hamilton. And Deshaun Hamilton has a good game, and I think everybody can pretty much go over, and he's off to the side, and you can get to him. Fair enough?
Somebody like him, yeah.
Right.
Sure.
Okay. High-profile player that is, quote, the player that everyone would say is the face of your program. How do they need to handle that so everybody has an opportunity here, and it's not just, I've got to get the best shot?
The only way, and I'm not criticizing the Penn State media relations department whatsoever, because it's a Herculean task.
Right, I'm asking somebody who's been around the block that may have an answer.
Here's the only way is if you say, when Christian comes in the room, and this is how they do it in the NFL, when the quarterback comes in, he sits in the front of the room and everybody sits in their seats and there's a mass interview. Okay? So that everybody can hear him.
Okay.
Now, that's how the NFL does it. I'm not saying that's the way colleges should do it, but when Christian comes in, there are, I don't know how many other players in that room, so you can't you know, it's hard to say, okay, everybody just be quiet and stop the interviews with the other players. Christian is going to answer questions now. So it's a dilemma. It's hard. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't want to sound like it's made my life miserable or anything.
No.
You know, sometimes it's just, it makes your job a little harder, but that's the way it is. I mean, I've come to deal with it. That's the reality of it.
Right. That wasn't the tone of the question.
Yeah.
The tone of the question was, as someone who's been around the block and may have a different way of doing it, what would be best so that your readers or even the viewers can get access to them?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. Okay, so I see. Yeah, I mean, the cameras run toward Christian as soon as he comes into the room, just like any Penn State quarterback.
Right.
What I do is I look around the room and see who's out there and see, like, guys who I think would be good interviews or who are good interviews, and I just check the rest of the room, and if there's not a crowd around somebody, I'll make a beeline toward them.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, that room is, you know, even though it's big, it's not so big after a game.
No.
But sometimes you get a lot of good stuff. Like, I didn't get to Bill Belton the other day. Well, that's my, you know, what can you do? That's the way it goes. But I did get to Akil Lynch, and I got to Andrew Nelson. And both of them were very good.
Yeah. All right, now moving forward.
Okay.
In order for this football team to now make the next step, what would be on your laundry list as to what they need to do to make the next step so they can continue to do the winning part of it?
Protect number 14.
Yeah.
Period. That's number one priority, and keeping him healthy. That has to be the number one priority, and I think it is with James Franklin.
Sure,
I think he's made that pretty clear.
Right.
You know, the coaches. It's not like they're surprised that the offensive line has taken some time to gel because there are four new starters.
Mm-hmm.
So that is that. To me, and I wrote that in my column today, and I'll ask you this, is Penn State a legitimate contender in the Big Ten East?
Yes, because I don't see, to me, I've said from day one, Michigan State's the prohibitive favorite in the East. Not Ohio State. I've always said Michigan State.
Now, would you have said Ohio State before Braxton Miller got hurt?
I said Michigan State back in the spring, and I said it all summer.
Okay.
In fact, I was on Sirius XM, and they were talking about the East, and I said, no, Michigan State would be the favorite because the last time I saw the two teams play, Michigan State beat them handily.
Right. Well, I flipped after Braxton Miller's injury. I had Ohio State, and then I flipped for our preseason section.
Right.
I think it's going to be very difficult. Now, we're talking 7, 8, whatever it is, 9 weeks away. I think it's going to be very difficult for the Penn State offense against the Michigan State defense. Okay.
Right.
So, having said that, how does Penn State stack up against Ohio State? Interesting. That's obviously, it's becoming more and more of a closer game. Or since maybe the beginning of August, you know, when people looked at him like, oh boy, before Miller got hurt. Or before he was ruled out for the season. You know, now it's a winnable game. I'm not saying Penn State will be favored. I'm just saying it's a winnable game.
Right.
Michigan, winnable game.
Yes.
Not that it's going to be easy.
Right.
But right now, the state of Michigan, you know, especially on offense, they don't really know what's going on there. Who's the quarterback? You know, I don't know what Brady Hoke said today, but it's going to be interesting to see how they proceed going forward.
Right.
Although Michigan's defense has played decently. So, to answer your question, to me, whether Penn State is a legitimate contender or not depends largely on how the offensive line plays.
Right. And to answer your question, I think for Penn State to be a legitimate contender is going to be contingent on health. I think the opening third of this year, I think Penn State, knock on wood, you know, with some off-season exceptions, the health has been okay. And I think if you're healthy, you can then get better as time goes. To me, the big matchup, if both teams are healthy in a Penn State-Ohio State matchup, is the same thing I would have told you back in July. Penn State's defensive front, against a rebuilding offensive line for Ohio State that nobody talks about.
Right, and now a redshirt freshman quarterback, too,
exactly.
On top of everything. So, I agree with you, Steve. I kind of I think health is obviously a critical component, and it has been with the limited scholarships.
Right.
And, you know, if Penn State can stay healthy, yeah, they got a real good chance of getting better. So,
it's certainly
an interesting season. And not to say the last two weren't, because they were too, but this is... Right. It's turning into a much more interesting season than I expected it to be.
Right. And again, when I talk about health, this isn't the case where, for example, 2 years ago when Michael Motti got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. But Nate Stupar could play.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that changes everything.
Yeah.
Rich, thanks so much. Appreciate the time, as always, and the great insight.
Anytime. Thanks, guys.
All right. Rich Scarsella, Reading Eagle, joining us on the show. Kevin's perspective on the interview in a moment. We always like to have people hang on for that moment as we go to a break on News Radio 1070 WKOK.